Amen. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I'm teaching from my series. I'm going to finish this today on the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, because we're talking about breakthrough, 2013, the year for major divine breakthrough. Church, I'm talking about, I think, outside of faith, the most important thing that I believe that a believer should have, and that's to be baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. This is when the Holy Spirit comes and empower you to do what God called you to do. Do you know you are not here by accident? Do you know you are here on assignment? I'm talking to everybody at the sound of my voice right now. Look at your neighbor and say, you know accident. Now tell them. You know, when I think about that, I think about James Robinson. He's an evangelist. He's on television. Anybody know James Robinson? So I'm on television. Watch this here. Do you know that he's the product of a rape? His mother got raped and got pregnant, didn't abort the baby, and God is using that man of God to save millions of people. Church, don't you know you know accident? Now, that wasn't God's perfect will. You understand what I'm saying? You're not here. I see people all the time, especially when I was in New York, and I see it here. You know what I'm saying? I see people retire. They retire at the age of 40 and 45 and 50. Now what you're going to do? Baby, God didn't send you to retire. God sent you here to the earth to finish an assignment he gave you. When you see Jesus, he said, Lord, I finished what you gave me. Paul said, I finished my race. The Bible said when David finished serving God in this generation, he died. The Bible said when Moses finished, God didn't call us to retire. God called us to finish. So you here by assignment. And you can't carry your assignment out without being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, church. Outside being born again, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life. And we've been on this for 4 or 5 weeks, and I showed you every man or woman of God, when the Spirit of God came upon them, they was changed into another man. Amen. See, church, we're supernatural. The church ain't natural. The church is supernatural. See, the church, you are a supernatural being. The Bible says God, he created you in his image and his likeness. See, you're creating the image and likeness of God, but God is the Spirit. So if God said if they're going to do the supernatural in a natural situation, I got to empower them with my Spirit. And everywhere we saw where the Spirit of God came upon somebody, the supernatural came in. See, church, the supernatural, signs and wonders ought to be following you in your life. Go to Luke chapter number 1. Go to Luke chapter number 1. You'll say I'm supernatural. Lord, that was weak. Say I'm supernatural. That's what I'm talking about. Church, we was created for signs and wonders. Amen. We was created for signs and wonders, and I kind of think about this. I got born again at 35 years old. I got baptized with the Holy Spirit many years later. And even Jesus, the Bible said even Jesus, his brothers and his sisters and his own family didn't believe, other than his mother, that God had an assignment on his life. Because when you grow up, everybody, they see you. And if you grew up in the African-American community, everybody have a nickname, per se. Amen. So they see you. I mean, it's family. Like in my neighborhood, they call me T. You know what I'm saying? They don't call me Terry. Hey, T, what's up? They come. And let me tell you something, church. If some folks is known by their nickname in the hood, you go to the house, you don't even know their name. No, serious business. There was a dude in the hood, his name was Black Pearl. But that wasn't his name. Why they called him Black Pearl? Because he was black. Amen. Let me tell you, he didn't look like no pearl. He looked far as thing from a pearl. And this one guy's name was Hardface. What was his name? Hard faith. Because he had, because the streets had made him look hard. And you saw his face, they just called hard face. They didn't know his name was Anthony Banks. See, I'm telling you, some folks are known in the neighborhood by their nickname more so than their name. When I heard their name, it was in the paper. I said, oh, that's his name. I didn't know that was. His name was Anthony Banks. His name was so-and-so, so-and-so, because you knew him by their nickname. But what I'm saying is, when you get born again and God empower you, now watch this, church. God's talking to you right now. I'm talking to somebody who had an abortion. I'm talking to somebody who's been molested. I'm talking to somebody who's been raped. I'm talking to somebody told you will never be anything. I'm talking to somebody who's been to prison. I'm talking to somebody who don't have a high school education. When you get born again, and if you get what I'm talking about, God wipe all that other stuff out. Your family look at you and say, ain't no way that people are standing in line for you to sign their book. There's no way you're raising the dead, you're laying hands on the sick. There's no, you ain't been to Harvard Business School. How you got a $1 million business? When you get this, what I'm telling you, you supernatural. God will cancel everything else out. See, that's why the Bible says a prophet is without honor except in his own country and his own house. Because they still see you as little boo-boo. They still see you know what I'm saying, as T. They still see you at whatever nickname that you have, little Mary. They still see you, but see, no, when God get involved in your life, everything changes. See, when we look at men, see, Lord have mercy, church. Let me show you something. Okay, put a ribbon right there. We're going to come back to that. Go to James chapter number 5, because you need to know the importance of this. We walking around, we come into church, and we should come to church. But you come into church for me to encourage you, to build you up, so you can go back out there and dominate your area of influence. See, when we look at men of God in the Bible, we think they're supernatural beings. No, the Bible said they just like we are. See, they just like we are. Only thing God did was empower them with the Holy Spirit, and their whole life changed. In James chapter number 5, if you're there, say amen. Look at verse number 17. James 5:17, if you're there, say amen. Elijah was a man with a nature like what? Ours. He was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. The Bible said, see, Elijah did supernatural things. He did miracles. The Bible said, he ain't no different than you. That's the same thing they did with Peter and John in the Bible. When they healed the man at the temple, at the gate of Beautiful, he said, they saying, why are you bowing down to us? We got natures just like you. See, church, I'm telling you, the reason I'm teaching you this right here, because I want to show you something. I want to show you something. Go back to Luke chapter number 1. You got to know that everybody that God used in the Bible, they had a nature just like you. Let's take Abraham. The Bible said Abraham wasn't no super being. Abraham used to worship what? Idols. He used to worship the sun, the moon, the cows, the goats, until God spoke to him. We take people like Moses. Look at Moses. Moses on the backside of the mountain sees the burning bush, goes to it, and God speaks to him. He said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses said, God, I don't talk that well. I stutter. I don't have this kind of education. I come from this. God said, Moses, I'm with you. Look at Gideon. We saw with Gideon. Gideon hiding out from the Midianites. Gideon was a coward. He was hiding from the enemy. And God said, hey, mighty man of valor, Gideon, who are you talking to? See, we laugh, but some folks are here saying, who are you talking to? Church, you'd be surprised who you're sitting next to. You'd be surprised. See, I want to stir up the gift, the dreams, the vision that God has placed on inside of you. I'm telling you, when God spoke to you, and some of you guys are going to get a breakthrough this year, God, when he speaks to you, you're going to get a breakthrough. When God spoke to me back in 1998 and said, fresh start, new beginning, God gave me a sign. He sent me to the Word. It took me 15 years to get, you know what I'm saying, to grow up in these things. Because when God speaks to you, He gives it to you in seed form. See, it took Moses 80 years to get ready. It took Jesus 30 years to get ready. It took Joseph 30 years. It took David 30 years. When God speaks to you, you're not ready, but God called things that be not as though they were. So if God hadn't spoken to you, He going to speak to somebody this year. And when God speaks to you, let me tell you something, baby, it's exceedingly, abundantly, more than you can ask, think, or imagine according to the power that's in you. Amen. Because sometimes when God speaks to us, He empowers us. We're saying, God, me? He's saying, yeah, you're the right one. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm the one. Amen. You're the one. And church, don't worry about your family. Don't worry about your friend. And when God speaks to you, keep it to yourself. The Bible said when He impregnated Elizabeth, Zachariah's wife, the Bible says she hid herself for 5 months. See, sometimes when God speaks to us, watch this here. We want to run and quick and tell people. And then we tell people, girl, let me tell you what God said to me. And what they're going to do. Girl, get your crazy self over there. And next thing you know, unless you come to a church like this where I pull them visions back up and them dreams and them gifts back up, it'll lie dormant for many years. Let me tell you something. If God spoke to you, you're the right. Say, I'm the one. Amen. I'm the one, baby. I'm the one, and if you knew who you were sitting next to, you would treat them better. I think about the athletes and the entertainers who mothers and fathers left them. If you knew, if Shaquille O'Neal's father knew that he was going to be Shaq, you think that man would have left him? He'd have put up with his mama Lucille. That was my mama's name. Dude, watch this here, church. Watch this here. If I look at, if you think Jamie Foxx's mother and father would have knew he was going to be Jamie Foxx, they would have left him. See, I see athletes and entertainers all day, and let me tell you something, them folks hurting because they didn't know when you born into this world, God put greatness in you. But it's going to take the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to fulfill it. You trying to do something supernatural in the natural, it'll kill you. You can't do it. Church, we're the church. We are supernatural. That's why we can raise the dead. We can lay hands on the sick. We can make the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the mute to speak. The church is supernatural. But the world don't see the supernatural. Why? Because we're not baptized with the Holy Spirit. We don't have this empowerment. So in Luke chapter number one, we read it before. Because I want to finish this today. In Luke chapter number 1, verse number 34. Verse number 34. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 34. If you're there, say amen. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? Look at me, church. When God's speaking, you say, how is it going to happen? How did God, a woman, they never did this. Guess what God's saying? I know. They never had a black man. Look at your neighbor and say, I know. They never had, you know what I'm saying, somebody from this side of the track. Look at your other neighbor and say, I know. Sure, I know. Hey, because he's all knowing. Mary said, how this going to happen? You just like Moses, you just like Gideon, you just like everybody. Say, God, how you going to do this? He said, I know. Now he said, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do it. Because Mary asked God a legitimate question. See, watch this here, church. Verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power. Somebody say the power. The power of the highest, which is the Father, the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One is to be born, will be called the Son of God. He's saying, look at me, church. He's saying the Holy Spirit going to overshadow you. That word overshadow is a powerful word. He's saying, Mary said, how this going to happen? He said, the Holy Spirit going to overshadow you. What that word overshadow mean? It means to cast a shadow. What do that word overshadow mean? It means to outweigh. See, it's just like I told just before in church, when somebody outweigh you, it's just like it's like if a local, let's say a city councilman came in here. One of the city councilmen for Atlanta came in here. And everybody's shaking their hand and know him and all that. But all of a sudden, Barack Obama walks up in the house. What you think going to happen? Everybody going to leave him. Amen. It's just like you take a local a comedian, and he's in the house. Everybody knowing so-and-so, but you let Oprah walk up in here. See, he's going to outweigh you. And also that word overshadow means to exceed as of importance. And the Holy Spirit, and when God speaks to you, he's going to come over you. He's going to overshadow you. He's going to outweigh you. And then that's how he's going to get it done. The same way he created this world. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. But the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. But watch this here. Then the Bible says, the Spirit of God moved or hovering or brooded upon the, now the power that came up. And when God saw the power, God said, let there be light. See, that's what's going to happen. Something's going to come over you, and God's going to speak something to you. And church, let me tell you, whatever God speaks to you is supernatural. All you need to do is what Mary did right here. Come on, let's keep reading. You need to do what Mary said. In verse number 36, let's go down to verse 38. Let's go to 37. For with God, nothing will be what? For with God, nothing will be what? Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your what? Word. According to your what? See, church, this was the breakthrough is when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. He's going to empower you to do something. Now, go to Acts. Watch this here. Go to Acts chapter number 2. Go to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Empower them with the Holy Spirit. That's breakthrough. That's breakthrough. Acts chapter number 2. Look at verse number 1. When you're there, say amen. He said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, somebody say suddenly. There came a sound from heaven. There came a what? A sound from heaven. When the Holy Spirit come upon you, a sound from heaven going to come. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the what house? The whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the, what? And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, church, watch this here. Look at me. Now, I'm going to show you some different reasons. Remember last week, we talked about some things. We'll go over in a few minutes. Some things about the benefits of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let me show you one of the most important things. See, God talked about this scripture we're getting ready to read in the book of Joel. In chapter 2, verse 17. Look at verse 17. Are you there? And he said, and this should come to pass. In the what days? Are we in the last days? Yes, we are. And he said, this should come to pass in the last days, says God. Says who? Now, what did God say? He said, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see what? Young men shall see what? Vision. And old men should do what? Dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath. Look at me, church. Look at me. That's the main reason why any young man, what would be considered young? Anybody 60 and below. Anybody 60 and below, the Bible said, you're going to see vision. He said, when the Spirit of God pour out on you. He said, young men's going to see vision, but old men going to see dreams. Watch this here, church. I'm 40 years old, sitting at home one Sunday night by myself. My wife had went out with a friend of her. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, God speak fresh start, new beginning to me. My wife come home a couple hours later and said, baby, God spoke to me. I was a baby Christian. He said, and I had got baptized with the Holy Spirit, he said, young men going to see vision. See, and let me tell you something. Look at me, church, because somebody, God talking to somebody tonight. See, some of you guys in here, I tell people all the time, they say, especially women, women of God. Yes. Women of God.
Yes.
When you marry a man, the first question you ask him, not whether or not he have a job. The first question you ask him said, what's your vision? Let me tell you why men, why women having problem with men, because they don't have a vision. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 18, he said, where if there's no vision, the people perish. What's the vision? The vision is, where are we going? The first question you ask him is not where you work at. The first question you ask him is, where are we going? Because he's going to take you somewhere. And I'm talking to every man in here right now. If you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, God going to give you a vision. And when you get a vision, see, women, the Bible call them help me. How are they going to help you meet something if you don't have a vision? So every day this woman is asking you, what are we doing? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? I don't know. You know why? Because you need to get baptized. Let me tell you something. You need to get baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking another tongue, and God going to give you a vision. He said, the only reason, the only, somebody say only. He said, where there's no vision, where there's no vision, one translation said, where there's no revelation or prophetic revelation from God. When you get a vision, everybody in your house going to come in alignment with it. Now watch this here, man of God. When you don't have a vision, your wife will get her own vision. You end up working for her. Amen. Because the women, they are helpmate. Everything I give my wife, I give it to her. She take it and multiply and give it back to me. See, if I gave her a house, guess what she gave me? A home. I give her groceries. Guess what she give me? A meal. I gave her a seed. Guess what she gave me? Matt and TJ. Amen. Watch this here. All right. Hey, keep it cool. Hey, praise the Lord. Because the man, we carry the seed. Watch this here, church. I'm talking to mature people now. Whatever I give her, she give it back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I give her love, she give it back to me. Amen. Watch this here, church. But that work on both sides. Sometimes I frustrate her. Get what she give me? Hell. Amen. And it bothered me one day, Christina. I said to myself, watch this here, Sean. I'm doing everything for this woman. I said, man, what's wrong with you? She said, you. I said, Lord. I knew because I had enough word in me then. So watch this here, Dallas. I had to go in my prayer closet and pray. And God said, Terry, see, she going to produce whatever seeds I planted her. She don't carry the seed. I carry the seed. Whatever I give her, she going to give it back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So I guess what? I started planting the right thing in her. I like what I'm getting right now. Amen. See, that's what I'm telling you. Anytime somebody says, babe, my wife is crazy. I know. Start planting. My wife said, you are. No, you got to replant the seed. Church, everything works by seed, time, harvest. I quit planting those seeds. I started planting the right seeds in them. But what I'm telling you, we're perishing because we don't have a vision. He said the main reason why the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, young men going to get visions. And where there's no vision, the people perish. You don't have a vision for your house. And then he said old men going to see dreams. What's the difference between a dream and a vision? A vision is something that you can carry out in your lifetime. A dream is something he give old men. They won't see it in their lifetime. Somebody else going to fulfill it. See, I was a young man at 40. But he said, old man going to dream. See, church, the worst thing in the world, you go to the hood and you see men just standing on the corner. Or you see people in the South, they just sitting on the porch. They don't have no vision. When you get a vision, baby, you ain't got time to be sitting. It's going to empower you. And I'm talking to every man in here right now. Every man. Let me tell you something, church. You didn't ask yourself to come here. You didn't ask your mama and daddy to get together. Your mama and daddy got together because God need to get you in the earth because he has an assignment for you. And when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, he going to speak something to you. God going to show you something. I'm telling you, church. And when he show it to you, don't, you know what I'm saying? The first thing you're going to do, you're going to be like Moses. You're going to be like Gideon. You're going to be like Mary. How this going to happen? And God said, my Holy Spirit going to do it. He's the key. That's why Jesus said, it's important that I go away. When I go away, I'm going to send another. What's another? Somebody just like me. And he going to overpower you. He going to outweigh you. And he's going to bring it to pass. See, church, watch this here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Uh-uh. We don't have vision. We don't have dreams. Somebody say breakthrough. When God speaks to you, don't you know you just got breakthrough? Don't you know one word from God? Remember, I quoted the scripture last week. 1 Corinthians, I just quoted it right here. Luke chapter number 1, verse 37. Read that out to Amplify. No word from God is void of impossibility, or no word from God won't come to pass in your life. When God speaks to you, he going to bring the pass. He just needs for you to obey everything he tell you. The problem, let me tell you the problem. The reason the prisons, the jails are full of men, because they don't have a vision. When you get a vision, a woman is looking to hook up. Don't marry a man because he just got a job. Let me tell you something, church. My wife was engaged to a man to marry him. She said, Terry, she put that engagement off 6 times. I asked her why. She said, because he was a nice man. He had a nice car. He had a nice career. But he had no vision. She didn't know where he put a finger on it. She knew. She said, I had something. I had to hook up with somebody who was going to challenge me. And the worst thing in the world is for a woman to hook up with a man, but you ain't giving her nothing to do. What are we going to do, baby? I don't know what you want to do. She going to go and start doing her own thing. Then you're going to come to me and say, Pastor, my wife's doing her own thing. She's doing her own thing because you don't have no vision. You need to go get in the face of God and say, let me tell you something, church. And when you don't have a vision, hook up with a man who got a vision. I got one. And when you hook up with me, God going to give you one. Amen. When you don't have one, hook up with a man who has one. And over time, God will give you one. You stay in the face of God. You stay in prayer day in and day out and say, God, why am I here? He's going to tell you. And say, let me tell you this, church. Oh, Lord, I got to finish this today. This is my church. I can finish next week. I know that. But this is what I want to tell you, church. The Spirit of God, we recognize that he's our comforter, he's our counselor, he's our guide, he's our teacher, he's our helper, he's our strengthener, he's our advocate, he's our intercessor. He's everything that we need. Most time people come to me, Brother John, and they want me to answer questions only the Holy Spirit can answer. I'm not your guide. He is. When you go to him, where I tell you to turn to? We ain't going there right now. We'll go somewhere. We'll come right back to that. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Go to Romans. You need to see this stuff. That's why you need to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Verse number 14. See, when I teach you, I'm teaching you by Holy Spirit. He's talking to me. Then he said, take him here. Tell him this. Because he know exactly what you need to hear. See? Watch this here. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 14. If you're there, say amen. Amen. For as many. Somebody give me the definition of many. But that's not all. That's different between all and many. He said, many of you. Watch this here. For as many are led by the what? For many is led by the what? These are the sons of God. See, everybody not led by the Spirit of God. Some folks don't have a clue because don't nobody teach them. Don't know about it. See, you got to be. See, I'm in Georgia. I'm not in Georgia by accident. I was led to Georgia. But look, watch this here, church. Can I tell y'all a secret? When we left Arizona, when we left Memphis, we went to Arizona, we loved Arizona. Then God sent us to New York. My wife said, I ain't never going back to the South. Look at her. She don't like certain stigmas about the South. But see, we understand we've been bought with a price. She following me. Amen. I'm led by the Spirit. I would have never chose Georgia. Ain't nothing wrong with Georgia. I'm from Tennessee. So ain't nothing wrong with the South. I grew up in the South. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm led by the Spirit. And then she's following her husband. See? Why? Because many are led by the Spirit of God. They're the sons of God. He's not saying that you're not a son of God, but he's saying the one that God's going to truly do something supernatural through, they led by the Spirit. They ain't just up looking at research and saying, this is a good town. They got good jobs in this town. No, you led by money. He said, for many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by God. What is he saying? The Holy Spirit ordering your steps. Go to 1 Corinthians. Come on, church. You got to get this. The reason you need to be empowered with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, why? So you can get a vision. So you can get a dream. Amen. Where there's no vision, people are perishing because they don't have a vision. Let me tell you something, church. You catch a man, look in the Bible. When God gave a man a vision, when he had a vision for his life, he thrived. That, like Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, think of Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Jeremiah said, man, I ain't going to speak no more in your name. I ain't going to do nothing. These folks are hating on me. They're trying to kill me. But a couple days later, Jeremiah said, this word is like fire shut up in my bones. When you get a vision, it's going to drive you. Everybody in the Bible who had a vision, watch this here, church. When they fulfilled their vision, let's talk about Noah. What was Noah's vision? God gave Noah a vision to build a big boat to save the world. 8 people were saved. After Noah built that big boat, watch this here, and the rain descended, and then they came out the boat. The Bible says, a couple of days later, Noah got drunk. Noah was an alcoholic. Why? And then the Bible says Noah was sloppy drunk. And what the Bible said? The Bible says son went and saw him uncovered. Right? Why? Noah, like David danced out of his clothes, Noah drunk himself out of his clothes. Like I used to be in the military, I see guys get so drunk, they couldn't even get to their room to get in. I wake up to go running in the morning, I trip over, say, man, what the? They done drunk themselves crazy. But watch this here, church. Why? Because the vision was over. See, God gave David the vision to be a king. After David became king and did some great things, what happened? There go Bathsheba. He looked over there in another man's yard. See, everybody who had a vision, once the vision is gone, the vision is what drives them. The same thing with, look at Solomon. God gave Solomon a vision. Solomon was going to be king. Solomon became king, and God told him, don't marry these other women. Solomon said, okay. Next thing you know, Solomon had 800 of them. What you going to do with 800 women? Amen. Church, the vision is the key. That's why you need to be empowered with the Holy Spirit, because he's going to tell you why you're here. Let me tell you something, church. I think one of the most depressing days of my life, when I had got out of the military. I'll never forget this here. I went to the military in 1977, got out in 1980. I went in 18, got out of 21. And I looked for a job. It was bad in 1980. Anybody remember the 80s? They call it Reaganomics. Okay, watch this here, church. I looked for a job. Here I am, 21 years old. I had to accept a job as a busboy. Anybody know what a busboy is? I had to clean tables off at a restaurant. I'll never forget this, Zach. I was cleaning the salad bowl. And this guy came over to me. And he said, man, what you going to do with your life? And I looked at him. I said, what you mean what I'm going to do? He said, you can't do this all your life. And he told the truth. But I'm like, I ain't have no vision. I didn't know what a vision was. So when he said that, I'm like, man, I don't have no skills. I'm a nice guy. I'm a hard worker. But I didn't have no vision. I'm talking to somebody today. Because you own a job, and the only thing that job is doing for you is paying your bills. If you get with God, God will give you a vision. If you get empowered with the Holy Spirit, God will give you a vision. You will end up hiring people. Church, look at me. I got a high school education. I graduate. I come out of the military. I have a degree, honorable discharge. I got a degree in ministry. But higher education, Penny hired me to be his business manager. I was over tens of millions of dollars without a financial degree. Why? Because I had that power on me. I got a gift. I got an anointing. Out of all these people who went to school, you think he would go get somebody who graduated from one of these Ivy League schools or at least have a degree from another university? No. God put something in you that can't nobody else do. It's easy for you. And watch this here, church. When I went to him 8 years later, I left him because God said it's time for you to go to full-time ministry. He got mad at me. It took him a couple of years to get over. Finally, he just told me this summer, I was mad at you. I don't care. Let me tell you something. I don't care nothing about you being mad at me. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. See, he was mad at me because why? He could go to bed and know that his money was going to be managed right and I wasn't going to take a dime. See, I'm telling you, I had all these gifts and anointing me, and when the Holy Spirit empower you, he's going to show you. But a lot of us, we walking around here every day. We come into church. We're reading our Bible, but we don't have a vision. When God give you a vision or a dream, let me tell you something, church, it's going to drive you. And let me tell you something. No demon, no devil, no man, no woman, no girl going to be able to stop you when God get behind you.
Hallelujah.
And I don't care what it look like, baby. Your name can be Barack Obama. Amen. When they're trying to kill somebody like a Hussein, that's a bad name to have in this time to be president, but he became president. I don't care what your name, what your skin color, what side of the track you come from. Let me tell you something, baby. When God get on your side, when he speak to you, everybody else might well get back. And I don't care what it look like. I don't care what it look like and what your past look like. He going to cover all of that. And I'm speaking to everybody in here. I was the lowest in my life. I'm busting a table as a man. I don't know what to do. And then I end up doing stuff that I didn't supposed to do, selling drugs because I ain't had no vision. And then all of a sudden, I was the Lord in my life. I'm in a prison cell. And all of a sudden, this woman came by. She said, sir, can I bring you something? I said, ma'am, you can bring me a Bible. That woman bought me that Bible back. I opened it up. It came alive to me 3 days later because this preacher had come by. One day he was Catholic. Second day he was, amen, every day he was something different. The third day he came by, he just happened to be Baptist. No, you know, they had to save on money. So whatever he was, whatever you needed that day, that's what he was. So the day he came by, he just happened to be Baptist. And I showed him, I said, man, open this Bible up. And God started talking to me. That's when he introduced me to Jesus. And my life has never been the same. That was in 93. In 98, God spoke a vision to me. I'm telling you, church, if you get a vision, everything going to change. Watch this here. 1 Corinthians chapter what? 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Watch this here, church. That's why you need to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. Don't be spooked out about tongues. I told you about tongues. I told you in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when you pray in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit, who you talking to?
God.
Who you talking to?
God.
You ain't talking to man. It's Spirit talking to Spirit. You are Spirit. Your spirit has a voice. And the people who have a problem with tongues is intellects. Because they want to figure God out in their head. You can't figure God out in your head. God's bigger than your head. That's why you're saying, God, how am I going to do this? He said, my spirit going to do it. I just need for you to agree with me. So in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, let me show you what's going to happen, church. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 26. If you there, say amen. He said, for you see your calling. Look at me, church. He said, when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, when you get born again, God going to call you. He going to single you out. He said, you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the what? Flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the what? That's me. God chose the foolish thing of the world to put to shame the wise. Amen. God looking for the foolish things. He ain't looking for somebody that got it all together. I got this degree. I come from this family. I can do. God, he said, "Cause you're going to take credit for it." He said, "I'm looking for something foolish." Why? Why? He going to tell us why. He said, "For God, I want something." Bruce, come read this out the Amplified version. Not the Amplified. I want you to see this out of the Message Bible. Y'all work with me. I got something for you. Come on, find 1 Corinthians, Bruce. There you go. Have a seat right there. Thank you, Zach. Watch this here. And he said, "For God has chosen the what? The fool." Come on, church. Verse 27. Y'all got to be with me. You need to see this. God has chosen the what? The foolish thing of the world to put to shame the why. They're going to be asking you, "How you get this house? How you get this business?" People ask me, one dude asked me, tell me, "How you get Miss Linda? What's wrong with you?" Watch this, mom. I look back and say, "Dude, you better ask somebody. You hate her, you?" No, they want to know, "How you?" Man, come on. But watch this here, church. "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are in the base things of the world, the things which are despised." God had what? Chosen. Why? "And the things which are not to bring..." Oh, let me read that right. I'm excited. When I speed up, this country accent come out. Let me calm down. "And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing, the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his what?" Church, look at me. Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm the one." See, God chose the foolish things, the weak. But watch the message Bible. Come on, Bruce.
Take a good look, friends, at who you were when God called into this life.
Stop. He said, "Take a good look at you before you got born again. Your bad self." He said, because God had to come back. He had to correct people. He told David, "Look who you were when I called you. You was a shepherd now." Shepherd was the lowest clans of people in Israel. He said, "I called you to be king, and you done took this man's wife. If this wouldn't have been enough, I'd have gave you more." He said, "Look at your life before I came into it." Amen. He's talking to you. He said, "Look at your life before I came into it." Come on, Bruce.
"I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you."
Uh-huh.
"Not many influential."
Oh, one sec. I'm talking to all baby Christians right now. Them folks who sit next to you, they don't have it going on like you think they have it going on. They just dressed up right now. They struggling just like you struggling. Because sometimes church people come in, you think they ain't been through nothing. I'm telling you, everybody you're sitting by right now is going through something. Amen. I had this preacher one time. Watch this here. He was standing up, Carla, and he never gave his testimony. What's the word "never" mean?
Never.
And one guy, young guy in the church, sitting over there like Jermaine, he said, "I ain't coming back here no more." And my wife asked him, she said, "Why?" He said, "He ain't been through nothing." And my wife looked at me, I said, "He's been through something. He's just afraid of people to tell it." See, y'all can never write a book on me. I done told you everything. Amen. Because I ain't afraid of people. Right. He sit up there, watch this, Z, for 5 years and never gave his testimony. He had a baby out of wedlock. No, when he was a young kid, when he was married. And he had all these testimonies, but he was afraid of people. That guy said, "I ain't come back here. He ain't been through nothing." When you come here, that's why the Bible said we overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of, "I give you my testimony. I let you know I've been to prison. I let you know I sold drugs. I let you know my first wife committed suicide. I let you know so and so, so and so." Why? If he can do it through Pastor Terry, he can do it through you. Amen. Because that wasn't me. Whoever's in Christ is a
new creation.
Old things have
passed away.
Behold, all things have become
new.
No, a fresh start, a new beginning. Amen. I guess I ain't coming back here. Come on, Bruce, read.
"I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you."
Mm-hmm.
"Not many influential."
Okay.
"Not many from high society families."
Amen.
"Isn't it obvious that..."
Isn't this what? Obvious. Come on.
"Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men..."
God, he deliberately chose Katrina. He deliberately chose Kim. He deliberately chose Bruce. And he didn't just get a whole group. Hey, let me tell you something, church. He deliberately chose you. Say, I'm chosen.
I'm chosen.
No, say it. Say, I'm chosen.
I'm chosen.
God deliberately chose you. He picked you out, baby, out of everybody in your family. Watch this here, church. Out of everybody in your family, when the prophet come to anoint one of Jesse's boys, he brought up Eliab, the oldest boy. And the prophet Samuel said, he's it. This has got to be the one. God said, he's not it. He brought the other one out. He's not it either. And the third, he said, surely, God said, he's not. He brought out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The Bible said the prophet never missed it. Not one of his words ever fell to the ground. So the prophet said he went over it again. God said, they still not it. Then the Bible said he looked at Jesse and said, do you have any more boys? He said, I got one more. He out there with the sheep. Send for him. The Bible said David came in. God said, whoop, there he is. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm the one. See, let me tell you, church, I don't care what it looked like. I know they didn't invite you to the party, but they can't get started before you get there. Amen. David wasn't even in the house. His mama, his dad didn't even think enough of him to bring him in because he didn't look like material. The Bible says, but he deliberately chose you. Church, God got you in the palm of his hand. He know what you look like. He know what you've been through. You are perfect for him to use you.
Hallelujah.
Look at me. Grew up in a city. Mom raised 7 kids by herself. Didn't meet my dad until I was 27, 29 years old. Went to prison. All these different things happened to me. But God said, Terry, 1998, you the one. And I said to him, I said, Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. And I'm helping folks all over the world right now.
Amen.
Amen. Say, I'm the one.
I'm the one.
Come on, Bruce.
Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? Chose these nobodies to
chose these what?
Nobodies.
To do what?
To expose the hollow pretensions of somebodies.
Oh, don't we have a lot of pretenders in Atlanta? No, Bruce, you got to read
pretensions.
That. Mm-hmm. Come on, Bruce.
Isn't it obvious?
It's obvious.
That God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses, chose the nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear.
That makes it what?
Quite clear.
No, what, he better make something quite clear to us. What is it?
That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God.
Hold on. Look at your neighbor and say, you better sit down somewhere. Tell him. Because all of a sudden God used you, now you want to stand up and act like you ain't been through nothing. Everybody in here been through something. He said, quit trying to blow your, because people come to church, they clean up, they act like they ain't been through nothing. I'm telling you right now, everybody, they lying to you. Everybody in here been through something, they just don't want you to know. Amen, come on.
Everything that we have,
Everything that we what?
Have.
Come on.
Right thinking.
Right thinking.
And right living.
Right living.
A clean slate.
A clean slate. A fresh start. A new beginning. Come on.
And a fresh start comes from God.
What? That's in there.
By way of Jesus Christ.
By the way of what?
Jesus Christ.
You are who you are because of Jesus, church. That's enough, Bruce. Give the Lord a hand praise, church. I'm telling you. That's enough. Thank you, man of God. So what I'm telling you, church, a lot of us are missing it because we don't have a vision. When the Holy Spirit come upon you, he said, I'm going to pour my spirit out on you. And young men, all the young men wave at me. Everybody 6 and below. He said, you're going to see vision. Lana Lee pat alone. Yeah. Everybody 6 and below wave at me. Put your hand down. He said, you're going to see vision. But the old men, everybody 6 and up wave at me. Ain't but a couple. TJ, y'all put your hand down. He said, you're going to see dreams. And remember, vision God going to bring to pass in your lifetime. A dream is something you're going to start it, but somebody else going to finish it. Church, that's why you need the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Because you want the Spirit of God to come upon you. You need a vision. You need a vision for your family. When God spoke to me, he spoke 3 generations. It's, God talks in generations. He talked Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, and they still going on today. When he spoke to me, he spoke to Maddie and TJ, their children. That's why it's important for you to get a vision. And see, I got to close today, but I ain't finished. Can I get one more week with this thing? I'm going to take it because I'm the pastor. You know. But church, listen to me. This thing is huge. This thing is huge. You know what I'm going to do next week? I'm going to teach on this. I'm going to show you some more benefits. And then I'm mean, the pastor. I'm going to bring you up. I'm going to lay hands on you. And you're going to speak with other tongues next week. Everybody that's not baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking other tongues, I'm going to bring you right up in doing service, and I'm going to lay hands on you, and you're going to speak in tongues next week. And the Spirit of God is going to come upon you, and you're going to get a vision for your life. Church, it's the difference. It is the what? It's the difference. It is. It's the difference. Give the Lord a hand praise. Amen. Every head...